And joining us now, David Smiley, the Charles A. and Leo M. Favreau Professor of Human Relations at Tulane University and a senior fellow at the Washington Office on Latin America. He has studied Venezuela for 30 years and has written and edited three books on it. And he curates a blog called Venezuelan Politics and Human Rights and has testified in the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee and has written opinion articles for the Washington Post and the New York Times. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Smiley.
Thank you, Ian.
And do you think that this talk of a coup underway in Venezuela is real? I mean, the big demonstrations are scheduled for tomorrow, May the 1st, but there has been some military activity on a minor scale, it would seem. And Juan Guaido is now being seen with a couple of rebel soldiers, if you want to call them that, along with Leopoldo Lopez, who Maduro has jailed and held under house arrest, who's apparently been freed by the soldiers. So what are we seeing? Are we seeing a real coup underway or theater?
This is a combination of both, because this is a real uprising. You know, in the early morning hours, I was woken up at 5 a.m. By a phone call saying that there was something underway. And Juan Guaido appeared at the military air base in Caracas, not the main military base, which is Tijuana Fort, but the La Carlota air base. Showed up there and had some military with him and said that this is the day of our liberation. Maduro is going to leave. The military is on my side. And he had with him, the biggest surprise, he had with him Leopoldo Lopez, who's been under house arrest for the past 5 years. And apparently was let go by his captors, or somehow got out of his home arrest, in which is only a few blocks away from where they were. The everything they tried to do was to say that this was already underway, that this was the turning point, this was already successful, to try and generate, to try and get the military to flip, to try and get the military to think, well, they better change sides before it's too late. As the day has gone on, it looks like that has not been successful. None of the military high command have actually turned on Maduro. It's only been some low-level military personnel. It's not quite clear if we're talking about dozens or hundreds that are supporting Guaido. This all happened the day before what was supposed to be what Guaido had said was going to be the biggest manifestation in Venezuelan history, which was going to be on May 1, tomorrow. That was going to be called Operation Freedom or Operation Liberty. Guaido this morning said, May 1 has come one day first. It's not sure why he did that. It could be just out of the element of surprise, to try and surprise the government. Or there are other rumors that suggest that he had been informed of plans to arrest him on May 1st, and so they decided to move this up. Whatever the case is, it's clear that they see that they have to make some sort of dramatic action, and I think that's probably correct, because the opposition is not in a strong position. I think the time is not on its side. Time is on the side of the people that are in the government, that have the institutions and have the guns and have the money, not on the opposition challenger that's depending on street mobilization, which is always hard to maintain. And so they're pushing this forward. It was a real thing. I'm not sure. It looks like it's not going to be successful. There are rumors that there are negotiations for Maduro's exit, but I think those are probably just rumors.
Well, clearly there's a division in the military. The top brass are all, a lot of them are in the drug trade and are thoroughly corrupt. But then you've got regular, enlisted men and NCOs and junior officers who, like all Venezuelans, are suffering from food and medicine shortages and power cuts and general sense that the country's falling apart. So I guess he's trying to exploit that division, but your sense is that he may have bitten off more than he can chew? Because if he's put himself out on a limb like this and it doesn't work, and you're suggesting, David Smiley, that it's not working, that the coup is not creating, massive mobilization, which was planned for tomorrow in any case, then Guaido will be pretty much finished, wouldn't he?
Well, that seems to be like the most likely direction, is that they would arrest Guaido. No, they pretty much sort of let him circulate. They arrested his chief of staff, and they've harassed and sort of blocked some of his rallies. But he's been allowed to circulate. even when he went out of the country, he was allowed to come back in. You know, everything would suggest that they're going to try and arrest Guaido and rearrest or capture Leopoldo Lopez again. The question then is, what is going to happen after that? You know, I think they felt they had to play their strongest hand, and what they would have preferred is to the military to flip. And this is what they've really been trying since January, is to get the military to flip against Maduro. Everything that they've done and said have always been trying to say, you know, to the military, this is your time, this is your last chance, everybody's about to turn, we're having high-level negotiations, all of it to try and generate it, to actually get it to happen. And once again, it didn't seem to work. I think they are, they thought, well, we'll give that a try, our best effort, and in fact, they had some military with them. And if it doesn't work, well, then we will get arrested. And they, you know, the United States has warned of the most serious consequences if Guaido is arrested or harmed anyway. And so I think they're sort of willing to let the ball go to the United States or the international community and see what kind of response will happen, you know, what kind of pressure will come down on Maduro as a result.
And again, I'm speaking with David Smildy, who is a professor of human relations at Tulane University and a senior fellow at the Washington Office on Latin America. He studied Venezuela for 30 years and has written or edited 3 books on it, and he curates the blog Venezuelan Politics and Human Rights, and he's testified to the United States Senate Foreign Relations Committee and has written opinion articles for the Washington Post and the New York Times. But if Guaido's last resort is to play the American card, first of all, any military action on the part of the United States would backfire, wouldn't it not? I mean, not to mention the fact that Trump's bark is probably worse than his bite. Pompeo and Bolton there and Elliot Abrahams, they're all big on rhetoric and bluster, but I don't know that there's a lot that they can do. And I think if any American boot shop on the ground, it would be a massive tragedy and it would backfire and the U.S. would lose what support it has in Latin America, because I think, 60 governments around the world have come out against Maduro and have recognized Guaido. Wouldn't that support evaporate?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it already has to a certain extent. The United States, the fact that it's come out so strongly since January in favor of Guaido and has become such a protagonist, such an important actor in this situation, has clearly given the opposition some strength, but it had a high cost. It's made this into a geopolitical struggle. And so now it's not just the United States and it's not just the Latin American countries. It's also Russia and China that are involved in this. And you know, it's hard to imagine, you know, a lot of what happens has nothing to do with Venezuela at all. It's going to have to do with relationship between the United States, China, and Russia. And I think beyond that, there's all sorts of leaders and solidarity groups that have now taken this up. It marks sort of return to Cold War rhetoric about anti-imperialism in Latin America. And, of course, the Trump administration has stoked this by actually talking about the Monroe Doctrine is guiding their Venezuela policy, you know, the doctrine that the United States should have precedence or predominance in this region, in this hemisphere, regardless of what happens elsewhere in the world. So, you know, I think, it would be an absolute tragedy if there was a military intervention. There have been estimates within the U.S. government that it would take over 100,000 troops 5 years to stabilize Venezuela if there's a military intervention. I think that's one of the things that is keeping Trump from forging ahead. But I have no doubt that, you know, they are running through scenarios and have troops training for what could be an intervention in Venezuela. I think that would be most likely towards the end of the year or next year. And, of course, that's a time-honored way for U.S. presidents to sort of rally the nation, sort of a rally around the flag effect, is having some sort of foreign intervention. Popularity always goes up. So if you can imagine if Donald Trump's campaign is flagging next year at this time, intervention in Venezuela would look all that much more attractive.
Well, there's no coherence in Trump's foreign policy, if indeed you can call it a foreign policy. you know, he's obsessed, and Bolton and Pompeo are obsessed with taking down the Iranian regime. And now that they've taken away the waivers on purchase of Iranian oil for India and other countries, and Turkey, in Turkey being a neighbor of Iran, is not happy about that. This is going to have the effect of driving up the price of oil, which actually helps Venezuela. So, I mean, they're just completely incompetent. Not that I approve of their foreign policy, but they just, in terms of executing it, there's no coherence. So if we're going to get into a situation, David Smalley, where basically the U.S. versus Russia and China in some kind of surrogate war, I don't see the U.S. winning that one. But on the other hand, what are the Cubans, the Russians, and the Chinese going to end up in terms of a victory? At best, it's going to be a Pyrrhic victory, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a terrible scenario. I mean, you know, John Bolton was involved in the decision to go to war in Iraq. And if you look at the decision, like most of these decisions, these adventures, these foreign adventures, they always say these are going to be quick and brief, and we're going to bring democracy. Yeah, that's what they said about Vietnam. They said, that's what they said about Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, you know, and just this year, we're finally negotiating the end of U.S. presence in Afghanistan 17 years later. That was supposed to be a couple months, you know, intervention. And so, you know, these people make this mistake consistently. They overestimate their capacity. They underestimate the sort of staying power and the sort of sociology of the societies that they want to intervene into, and how thick and resistant it is. And time and again, they get bogged down and things end up making an absolute mess. And so that's what could happen in Venezuela, and in the best of the cases. In the worst case, you know, it could draw in, you know, Russia, for example. I don't think Cuba or China would get involved, but it could be something that could be thoroughly destabilizing in the region and even in geopolitical sense. I mean, I think, you know, the Russians are there and are going to support Maduro. I think Chinese is at a situation in which they're quite a bit more pragmatic about Venezuela. You know, their support has been flagging over the past couple of years, and this year with this new push against Maduro, you know, they haven't been that vocal in their support. They've resisted the United States in several ways, but, you know, they've received so much criticism, and Venezuela is a sort of a banner case of their big, you know, debt, their big infrastructure projects abroad, and providing debt to, you know, debt spending to countries in Latin America and Africa, that they're a little bit on their heels. And I think they're, you know, if we had a government that could pragmatically talk foreign relations and negotiate diplomatically with China, I think, you know, there could be a solution to this. But as it is, this government, all it knows is you know, aggression and sort of flame throwing. And so it's basically, you know, doesn't really have any friends that are mediating in the context of Venezuela.
But just in closing, on the other side, Maduro's not going anywhere. You still have hyperinflation. You still have total dysfunction. You still have lack of food, lack of medicine, and power blackouts all the time. And you've got millions of Venezuelans fleeing, and they happen to be the technocratic class. The engineers are fleeing, so the oil industry's not working. And, of course, if you don't have electricity, you can't pump oil at any rate. There's a lot of factors that indicate that he is taking the country down the drain. Isn't that pretty clear?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it is in an absolute collapse. And most of this has been because of economic mismanagement, you know, absolute chaos in the foreign exchange and currency markets, policies that have driven down oil production. You know, it's been just a worst case scenario of economic policy. But now you have the fact that the U.S. has put through oil sanctions, and that, you know, 90% of the foreign currency that comes into Venezuela is from oil sales. And in a small country like Venezuela, basically you have to import most things, and so you have to do that foreign currency. You can't do it with your own currency. So this is a real stranglehold, and this is really making the situation much, much worse. I just saw some figures that said that imports had declined almost by half from January to February, which is an amazing amount. It was already, you know, much less than it had been the year before. And so it's an absolute stranglehold, and Maduro is largely to blame for this. It's not clear how long or really how he can keep this coalition going. You would think at a certain point that people within would ask him to step aside and put up a more pragmatic, fresher face that could recover Chavismo and do something different, because Maduro is clearly driving it into the ground. Whatever legacy Hugo Chavez has left Maduro is being squandered by him.
Well, David Smalley, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you, Ian.
And again, I've been speaking with David Smalley, who's the Charles A. and Leo M. Favreau Professor of Human Relations at Tulane University and a senior fellow at the Washington Office on Latin America. He has studied Venezuela for 30 years and has written or edited 3 books on it. And he curates a blog, Venezuela Politics and Human Rights, and has testified to the United States Senate's Foreign Relations Committee and has written opinion articles for The Washington Post and The New York Times. We can take a brief station break and we'll be back looking into how Trump is suing Deutsche Bank and Capital One to stop the House Intelligence and Financial Services Committee from investigating his and his family's finances.